Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by Tracy and Cody. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Go ahead, Tracy. Okay, wonderful. Great. I'm doing great.
All together. Matt's in studio. Karen is not here today. Either is Bo, so we're figuring this out. I'm working without Annette. Cody, what is our topic?
The upside of down.
Yeah, I love that. That was a great title you came up with, The Upside of Down. Because, you know, we've all heard the cliche, you have to take the bad with the good, or no pain, no gain. And the problem with cliches like that is we get used to hearing them, and then we start to repeat them without really remembering what they mean or without embracing or internalizing them. And so that's true for all of us, both as people and as organizations, which are just groups of people, really. And so far too often, individually and organizationally, when it comes to the ups and downs of life and in business, especially the downs, we fail to accept and embrace the downs. And as a result, we diminish or miss out on the goodness of more ups. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Why that we should embrace the down periods because they're necessary, critical, and even helpful.
Yeah, and I love that we're going to have this conversation, Pat, because I think we're seeing this, and we're going to talk about both of these things. We're seeing this in both the corporate workspace, and we're seeing it individually, because more and more frequently, people are sort of inundated with this idea that it's always upside, or it's always up and to the left, or, you know, or up and to the right, rather. Up and to the left is not what you're hoping for. But I think that that's a plaguing both our personal sort of mental state and our corporations when we're not embracing the upside of the downtime.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, as simple as this is, I was thinking about this morning. I think this is one of the most important podcasts we'll ever do, because this is critical in all parts of life. When we lament the down, or when we go through it as an organization or as a person and look back and go, never again, never again. Or when the down happens and we start to panic and think, oh, this is the beginning of the end. All of those things actually lead us to doing exactly what is wrong. Because the down is where we learn. Without the down, we don't go up. And if you looked at a company and you said, let's look at their revenue, their growth, or any measure of goodness, it's never a solid line going up to the right. It's never this solid line. If you look closely enough at anything in life, it's jagged. There's these boom, 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 up, down, and it gradually trends that way. But if we don't appreciate the times when it turns down and why that teaches us how to get back up, we will lose it. And this will drive us to failure in our businesses and depression and loss of growth in our personal lives.
Yeah, Pat, I actually remember being in our conference room with you during a particularly hard period of the table group, and you drew that very thing, like a graph that was up and to the right. And that was like a zoomed out perspective, right? Which is like, hey, over the course of the 27 years we've been in business, the macro picture of this, if you zoom far enough out, it looks like a up and to the right, a smooth line. And then you said, but if you zoom in to even a year or a 6 month period, you're going to see that jagged line, you know, from a micro perspective. And what tends to happen, and I remember you saying this, is when you start to see that downturn in the little micro, whether it's 6 months or a year, it feels like the line is just going to drop off and bottom out, right? So when you're in it, it feels like, oh no, everything is, you know, everything is off the rails. And so to zoom out and realize, oh, this is another one of those slight downturns, but in the grand scheme of things, if we zoom out, this is going to help us learn how to turn that trajectory back up and to the right. I remember that. I do think it applies both in business and in our personal lives.
Wow. I didn't remember that. I have a vague recollection of it now that you say that. But yeah, I mean, anybody can look back at their history and realize the only way to get up is to kind of go through those things. And I'm glad I had the thought to share that at a bad time. I don't remember it really. But then again, all right. So let's talk about this organizationally first. I mean, we look at like the most successful companies in the world. There is this false idea when people look at them. And when people do a story on them on television or YouTube, or they write an article, they tend to have to do it from like you said, from panned way out. And so it just looks like it's been a joyride. It's like everything went well. And yet, pick a company. And again, we because we've worked with them for so long over the years, we like to talk about Southwest Airlines. Well, they had one of their worst spike downs last Christmas. And the question mm-hmm. is, 5 years from now, they'll look back and go, that was a blip. Or mm-hmm. because they don't seem to have had any massive spike downs, they're going to over register against that. And, you know, I don't think they're going to do that. They're going to bounce back, and they're probably doing that in many ways already. But the point is, even the most successful organizations are inevitably, even the best athletes have a slump. You know, mm-hmm. even the best franchises in sports have a bad year sometimes.
So, Pat, let's talk about how we get through those slumps. So take Southwest as an example, or that athlete. How do you actually get through those downs?
Well, I don't know the right word. I'm not a PhD, a psychologist or anything, but there's something about what some people would call mindfulness, where it's just to stop and go, mm-hmm. oh, wow. Oh, this is one of like what Cody and I did years ago. Oh, wow, mm-hmm. we're in one of those periods. That's what's going on. Almost to step out of it and look at it mm-hmm. as though you're an observer. Because when you're in the midst mm-hmm. of it and you're panicking, you just kind of reinforce the negative. And so you have to almost step out and go, wow, this is a really hard time, isn't it? Everybody goes mm-hmm. through these. I wonder how we're going to be able to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think a big part of it is just perspective and giving yourself permission to say, yeah, this sucks, but nobody avoids it. I mean, have you ever like sure. gone through something bad and then talked to a friend and they go, oh yeah, I'm going through something bad too. And you're like, oh, I think when it happens to us, we think I'm the only one. Mm-hmm. I think if you're an athlete and you're in a slump, it's great to read a story about another athlete who was in a slump once and go, oh, mm-hmm. so this is part of the deal. So I think that's a part of it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I love that. I think the recognizing it, being mindful of it, and then sort of what that advice you gave us in that room years ago is like, oh, this isn't the end of the story. It's not like this drops off. You know, mm-hmm. that athlete's slump was probably in the middle of that story and not at the end. And if you can think, oh boy, and then I like what you said too around how do we learn from this? Like there is a natural momentum of this downswing that can catapult you into further growth. You know, so mm-hmm. sort of picking up the mindset of, how will we learn from this? How will we get better from this? Not, oh, mm-hmm. this is the end of the story and now we're plummeting to zero.
And it's not only that sure. it can, and that's a great point, Cody. It's not only that it can propel us forward. In fact, that's probably what's necessary to propel us forward if we accept it for what it is.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Even as we're having this conversation, Pat, I'm like, isn't it so, like we talk a little bit about how natural laws sort of play themselves into our business environments and those sort of things. Like we just think about everything has a season. You know, we have a season of growth. We have like spring and summer, and then there's fall and winter. And somehow we've convinced ourselves in our personal lives and in our professional lives that there shouldn't be seasons. It should all be this spring, summer growth period. And so there's a very natural law that like part of what happens in fall actually propels the growth in spring. And somehow we've convinced ourselves that that's not true of our existence in our personal lives or our work.
Yeah. In the Bible, unless a seed falls and dies or goes into the ground, it doesn't spring up and produce more fruit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's part of nature. And yet we lament it. You know, when I talk to CEOs of public companies, and I just was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, yeah, once we went public, you know, we had to make our numbers every time. And, you know, the very best CEOs, even of public companies, will go up in front of Wall Street or the analysts or whatever the heck it is, and they'll say, no, we're probably it's going to be a tough quarter. And it's the right thing mm-hmm. for it to be a tough quarter. And we might actually miss our number for the next two quarters. And you could downgrade us if you want. But let me tell you, it's because of that, our third quarter and our fourth quarter and then our first quarter next year are going to be fantastic. And it's funny, when you do that, people go, oh, I'm not going to panic. Employees, mm-hmm. even analysts, were like, okay, they understand what they're doing. But there's so many CEOs of public company goes, we have to, every quarter is like a panic. And that's yeah. actually, if you draw the curve, that's actually flattening the upward trajectory of the curve, because they're doing mm-hmm. artificial things to avoid pain and failure, which prevent them from go experiencing the kind of failure that's going to propel them into the future.
I was just thinking of that conversation, Pat, that we were having with that public company that went public, that they described sort of that hyper growth. They did have a period of hyper growth, but it became a curse for them, because then they had to say, oh, the next year, the next quarter, the next month had to actually keep that trend line. Otherwise, investors, shareholders, or other, you know, otherwise would be disappointed. And so it caused tons of burnout. It's an unsustainable thing to think that upward to the right trajectory is the only trajectory we can be on in our business.
Yeah, you know, we have friends who run a law firm, and they have a lot of high-profile cases, and they're fantastic, wonderful people. And it's so easy to think we can't lose any of these cases. And it's like, well, the one you lose, you can lament it, but you're also going to learn more about how to win the next 10. And so it's really important to not fear. I mean, this sounds so ridiculous, like I'm talking to my 17-year-old son, but not to fear failure and actually to realize it's a necessary part of growth and improvement. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that. I mean, the simplest things are the most profound, right? So this is one of them. You know, one of the things I was thinking, Cody, as you talked about the high-flying company that was the worst thing because it became kind of a curse. It's really kind of related to addiction. Because if you are addicted to avoiding pain, and a lot of people, like if you think about, I mean, and this is a very serious, sad thing, but like so many people get addicted to painkillers. And I have all the, you know, empathy for them because it's such a hard thing to go through a back surgery or anything else. But even like emotionally, it's like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I think I'll drink to avoid that. What happens is we get so used to that we create a worse problem than the initial pain itself. And yet when somebody can go, I have to go through pain, but I'm not going to dull it, we avoid that. And that's not to make light of addiction. It's one of the biggest problems in our society. And gosh, God bless all those people who struggle with it. But I think when we don't experience the pain we need to experience, we actually lead ourselves down the wrong path. But
yeah,
that's just my
opinion. You know, Pat, you know, we say it at the top of every one of these podcasts that we talk about all things related to organizational health. And this conversation is no different. I think that when you're describing that, I was sort of thinking of the sports analogy, and there's that sort of idiom that says winning covers a multitude of sins. Like when things are going great, it feels like, oh, everything is fine. Even if there's dynamics in the team that are not ideal. And this happens all the time in companies. When sales are up, when they're hitting their numbers, everything feels fine. And I think when we're talking about this downslope, it really is the health of the organization that helps it have the right perspective of a downslope, where if you're healthy enough and there's alignment and there's clarity, then when you start to experience the downslope, you can breathe a little bit like we've described and get perspective and said, hey, we're resilient. This isn't the end of this story. It's like, this is what we're going to learn from. And I think that's why that, you know, we are confident about, you know, companies like Southwest Airlines is, they're not going to get out of that because they're just going to learn how to win again. It's because the health of the organization, the perspective they have, the way that they'll learn from it and grow from it. And I think if you're in a situation where you're experiencing that downturn and it starts to expose the lack of health, you're in for a little bit longer of a roller coaster ride down that before it goes up.
Yeah, it's worth saying that we have, I mean, and we don't do this very often, we should, but because it's important, but we have 50 consultants around the world who go into organizations often when they're suffering and help them get that perspective and build or improve their health as an organization to make them resilient and get to the next upslope. And it's worth knowing that the Table Group has these people all over the world who do fabulous work. And if your organization is going through a downtime and you're kind of like, I don't know what we need to do, find one of our people, come call us, go to our website and find one of these people, because there's story after story after story where that's the very thing they do, give you perspective and help you make your organization healthy.
And it is so interesting, Pat. I would say, you know, as we get interest from companies that reach out to us wanting help, it happens more often on that little tiny downturn than it happens on the upswing. Like they're experiencing some pain. They're realizing that there's some cracks, you know, in the organization. And so a lot of them are like, boy, we've been on a trajectory, an upslope trajectory, and now we're experiencing some of this downside. And we really need some help to make sure that we're learning from this and we hit the next upswing. So it is interesting, this very conversation. So much of what we do around organizational health is organizational resiliency, like helping teams and organizations get to a point where they can, you know, get through these storms. And so it is, I love that you mentioned that. There's a great group of people that help leadership teams all over the world do that.
Wow. And I was thinking how this impacts personal relationships too, like marriage, because no marriage, and gosh, that's why it's so painful. You meet people, I go, they have a great marriage. And then you have a fight with your spouse, or you're not getting along for a few days or something, a division, and you think, oh, what's wrong with me? And every single couple I've ever talked to had serious downs, and they worked through it. And that's how they actually built a stronger relationship. And Matt, you were telling us a great story about this. I love this. Do you want to share that with us?
We're not married, but my girlfriend and I, we were hanging out one day and she saw this thing online that said, if you could erase one day of your relationship, what day would it be? And so we started naming a handful of days that were not fun and that we thought we wanted to erase. But then once we thought about it, she'd say, oh, what about this one? And I'd say, yeah, but that was important. Like that was actually, we actually grew from that. Like that was productive and that helped us going forward. And then I would suggest one and she'd say, yeah, but that one was pretty helpful too. And so each one of these days that was pretty not fun for either of us and difficult was actually like really important going forward. And even though it'd be really nice if we could get the benefit of those days without them being really not fun.
You can't.
But yeah, you can't. Yeah.
And no organization, no sports team, no relationship, nothing has ever grown without those downs. And yet when we bail out or we curse the downs or we commit ourselves to never having one again, we are by our very will increasing greatly the chances that it's going to be a continued down. So that's a great, when you told us that beforehand, we said that might be the most powerful example. You can look back at your life, at your company's life and say, the difficult time was the very seed from which the very best things grew. And that's what we're going to say today.
I love that.
I think that's a fabulous way to do this. Cody, you're on board today for the unpaid advertisement.
Well, speaking of personal downs in my life, I've been on a 3-day juice cleanse that is wrapping up tonight. I'm very excited that it's wrapping up tonight. So my advertisement is for Solid Foods. I'm a big proponent of Solid Foods. I get that in the spirit of the episode, I realize that this temporary pain will actually make my body somewhat healthier, hopefully. But I can't wait. I can smell whatever my wife is cooking in the kitchen for our kids right now. And I still only have 4 more juices before I can eat Solid Foods. So
you never thought macaroni and cheese. You never thought macaroni and cheese was going to sound so good.
Oh man. And I have to tell you, because there's listeners to this podcast, the first juice I have to drink every morning is celery juice. And it is the most ironic takedown of me possible where I have to drink the celery juice first thing in the morning. It takes me so long to get it down. It's disgusting, even in juice form. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, I love it. All righty. So Solid Foods. We are pro Solid Foods here. Pro juice as well, but you know, we'd like to mix them up. All right. Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us on what I think is a very simple but really powerful topic. And we hope it's beneficial to you. And we appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.